Thank you for joining us on the Beyond Sunday podcast, a podcast by the Springs Church. Today, we are sitting down with Corey Voss, the founder of Madison Street Worship, and our very own worship director, Sheldon Potter. Our host today is Pastor Owen O'Sullivan, the executive pastor at the Springs Church in Jacksonville, Florida. This podcast is available to watch on YouTube and Facebook. You can listen along on Apple, Android, or Spotify. And if you enjoy it, please make sure to share it with your friends and family. Our next episode will be about all things relationships with John and Chris Leach. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome to Beyond Sunday. This is our first episode of the podcast. My name is Pastor Owen. And this podcast is here to generate conversations that take the church, the congregation, from Monday to Saturday. We believe that the church is more than just an event. It's something that encapsulates our whole lives. And so I'm delighted today to have guests with me. Well, our very own Sheldon Potter, our worship director at the Springs Church. And then also it's an honor as well to have Corey Voss with us as well, who's been in at a songwriting retreat this weekend and led worship this morning, which we're very grateful for. And I'm going to start with you, Corey. Just would love to know a little about you, about your testimony, the journey that's taken you to the place that you're in now where you're writing songs and leading worship.
Yeah, first of all, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here with you guys. It's been a really fun weekend. Yeah, just some of my story and my testimony is that I was actually raised in the Catholic Church growing up, and it wasn't until I was 15 until I really got serious about my relationship with Jesus. You know, being raised in the church, you kind of have a form of religion and an understanding of theology and who God is. Always knew, like, Jesus died for my sins, that whole thing. But when I was 15 was kind of when I had an encounter with Jesus through a friend. A friend of mine shared her testimony with me, and I don't know how to explain it other than I felt the presence of God, and I knew that, like, I needed to take action steps towards following him. And that same day I ended up asking Jesus into my heart and receiving the gift of eternal life, and I just knew that I was changed. You know, you have that moment, like, the light came on and I was like, whoa, like, things are different. And from that point on, it was like I just dug into the word, you know. And I grew up playing piano, took lessons as a child. I sang in kids choir for my school, and then I did a couple, like, theater productions as a kid, and I think the Lord allowed me to do that and then used those giftings as I got older for worship. When I was 16, I started attending a youth group that was in the midst of a revival, and they just, like, it was incredible. And so I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit there. Wow. And I knew that worship was something that God was drawing me into. And within 3 years, I ended up becoming the worship leader of that youth group. My youth pastor trained me and raised me up to lead worship. Wow. And he did it kind of step by step and mentored me throughout the process. And from there, I went off to college, went to Southeastern University in Lakeland, Florida, and studied church ministries, got involved with the worship department, got involved in a local church. And yeah, my journey's been really just beautiful. And God is, like, he's just really opened so many doors, you know, that I could have never opened on my own. And at the end of my college career, I took a church job for a little while, and then after that, the Lord opened doors in Nashville for me to do some songwriting and traveling, and I got connected to Integrity Music and a couple other publishing companies, and yeah, it's just been beautiful. I've done a couple of records, and I'm super thankful for the journey, you know, and, like, just for the honor that it is to serve the church at large, and even the local church, and the honor that it is to write for the church. That's like just such a privilege, and yeah, it's one of my favorite things.
Wow, that's incredible. You know, when we were kind of promoting that you were coming in, I was just looking through some of the comments that were coming in. A lot of people have connected with you through different seasons of your life, in where you've kind of done worship. I think you were with People and Songs for a while. And maybe just share a little bit about, like, you know, some of the places that you've been and you've kind of led worship.
No, it's been really cool because I was part of a collective for a little while called it's called The Rain Collective with a guy named Michael Farron. He's an incredible songwriter, and he's a big brother and a mentor to me. He lives up in Nashville, and I was part of his worship collective for a little while, and we did an album together. And then, I got involved with people in songs, and we did three songwriting retreats. Well, I did three songwriting retreats with them called The Emerging Sound, and that was an incredible experience because Jenny Lee Riddle, she's the founder of People in Songs, she gathers all these high school and young adult students, and we gather for a week at a time, and we seek the Lord together, we worship together, and we write songs, and then at the end of the week, we record a handful of the songs, and each year, there's been about probably 14 to 16 songs that have been chosen to be recorded, and all the students gather in a room and surround the band, like in the round, and we record those songs, and that's a lot of what you've seen produced and released on their records is from those camps. So that's been such an honor to be a part of. And then I've been on staff at my church in Shelbyville, Tennessee, Gateway. I just transitioned into a different role there, but I was the worship pastor for several years, and part of that was building the worship culture of the church. And we partnered with Integrity and started Madison Street Worship, which is our church's worship ministry, and got to do a couple albums of songs that were written just out of the heartbeat of what God is doing in our church. And then those songs have been able to travel, and God has sent those songs out, and it's been beautiful to see the body of Christ, like, people reach out and say, hey, these songs are ministering, you know, to our church and our congregation.
It's so good, Corey, and it definitely seems like your songs are reverberating around a lot at the moment, and God's kind of opening up a lot of doors for the music to kind of get out there. You know, just something I want to touch on real quickly too is, you know, you mentioned it was a kind of at a young age you gave your life to Christ at 15, and then doors started opening up where you got involved in worship. You know, I think for like a lot of young people out there, there's gifts, there's talents, there's creativity that's kind of behind the scenes, you know, songs that haven't yet been written, you know, there's books that have yet to be wrote. Like, what would you say to the young person that was out there and is listening, and they're playing around with a guitar or whatever, but they're not sure what the step is to get involved in worship? What would you say to them?
Yeah, I would say, like, your gift will make room for you, and serving is always, like, no matter where you're at in ministry, serving is always important. Having a heart of a servant, you know. And I remember as a young worship leader, I went to my youth pastor and I didn't ask to lead worship. I didn't say I want to be on stage. I said, what can I do to serve the ministry of this church? What can I do to help? I just want to serve God, whatever that looks like. And I did tell him too. I was like, I do play piano, so if that's ever something that you want help with, I'm willing to help. And at the time, he was like, okay, I'll let you know. But I never pushed it, and it was never like... And then it was weeks later, he came to me and was like, hey, I want you to lead worship. I want to train you.
Wow.
And it was just cool how, like, the Lord allowed that to happen. And but also, like, I think in your own time, like, taking responsibility for your talent and your gift and, like, practicing and rehearsing and even spending time... Like, I used to sit at the piano when my parents would... leave the house and go run errands. I'd like sit at the piano and worship and find the presence of God for myself. And then if they'd come home, I'd like quickly, like, you know, step away because I didn't want them to hear me singing, because that was a very private thing for personal thing for me. And so I would just say, like, develop your quiet time with the Lord and find him. And like, there was one moment like 3 or 4 years ago when my music started just reaching out and people were responding, and the Lord just said to me one day, he was like, everything that you poured out to me as a teenager, like, I'm still honoring that. Like, I never stopped honoring your prayers and your heart. And I was like blown away by that. Awesome. Like, just his faithfulness and our time that we give God, he can multiply it.
Man, that's powerful. I love that. I love that. And Sheldon, I know we know you, but you know, there's people probably tuning in that are not as familiar with you. Why don't you give like just a thumbnail of your testimony, what God's done in your life, and how you've become the director of worship here at the Springs Church?
Yeah. Hey, y'all. I'm Sheldon. I've been with the Springs for a little over 2 years now, and became the full-time worship director a little over a year and a half ago. And it is just, I mean, the privilege of my life to serve you guys in worship. And I'm really excited about the direction that the Lord is taking our worship ministry and the things that we've seen this weekend and the things that he's building on, and just the culture of worship that's being built. And it's just my heart to see people fall in love with his presence. And I just love that our church is really taking hold of that right now. I studied worship ministry at Liberty University for a couple years after I graduated high school, and then moved back here to Jacksonville. I was raised here, so this is not a new area for me. Mm-hmm. But the Lord just did an amazing thing in bringing me back, because I didn't think I would ever come back to Florida. But, you know, God, well, I hated it. I hated Florida. and it was really surprising to me, kind of finishing up my journey at Liberty, when the Lord kind of started turning me back in this direction. And at first, you know, I was a little bit bitter about it. And the Lord just did like an incredible work in my heart, and just having me fall in love with the people here at the Springs Church. And just, I mean, it's just been confirmation after confirmation that this is exactly where I'm supposed to be.
Wow. It's interesting, like, so many people I meet that have grown up in Florida just can't stand having to live in Florida. But as somebody who's come in, like, I just love Florida. So it's always interesting to hear that, you know. And I actually remember, I think you had come, you were visiting family here in town, and you were singing an offertory song, the communion song, I think, at like one of our Christmas Eve services. And I remember being like, Lord, send Sheldon, let him be part of our staff.
So what you're saying is it's your fault.
It's my fault. It's my fault. No, it's so good. I would love to kind of get both of you guys involved in this. You know, we're all in the worship and the church culture at this point in time, you know. We've been around this for years, and we kind of get used to the rhythm of it or the routines of it. It's three songs, it's four songs, and then it's the word. It's kind of like a part of kind of just the day-to-day running of what seems like church. So, you know, what is worship? You know, what is that, and where do we get that from? Is there a biblical understanding that we get to what we do? I would like to just get your thoughts on that for the person who's not used to our conversation.
Yeah, so something the Lord has been laying on my heart recently, and that I've been doing a little bit of writing about, and I shared this with the worship team back at the beginning of this weekend. It was just kind of our people gathered together in a room, and I started talking about this this idea of, like, what does biblical worship look like? And there's this thing when we're studying the scriptures called the law of first mention that says the very first time something is mentioned in the Bible is very important to our understanding of the concept of a whole, as a whole. And so the first mention of worship comes in Genesis chapter 22, when the Lord says, I'm going to test the faith of Abraham. This is Abraham, like the patriarch of his nation, wow, of his people. And so it was very essential that Abraham had a genuine and authentic faith. And so the Lord said, I'm going to test Abraham. And he came to Abraham and said, I need you to sacrifice your son to me. And this was like Abraham's son of promise. Abraham and Sarah, you know, begged God for Isaac, and saw the promise fulfilled in Isaac, and God made a covenant with Abraham in Isaac. I'm going to birth a nation out of your son Isaac. And then God says, I need you to sacrifice Isaac to me. Wow. And at this point, Isaac was not married. He didn't have any kids. So Abraham's only thing to rely on was that God would be true to his promise, and that there would be some sort of working out. And I get chills just thinking about it. But yeah, the verse, the very first mention of worship, Abraham turns to the men that he's been traveling with for 3 days that have seen him walk through one of the most difficult times in his life, when he says, I'm on my way to a mountain to sacrifice my one and only son. And Abraham looks at those men and said, me and my son are going to that mountain to worship.
Wow.
And that is the first mention of worship we have in the Bible. So there's that idea of sacrifice and coming to God with everything that he's given us with an open hand, and saying, whatever you want to do with this, it's yours. It's not mine. You may have given it to me. You may have entrusted it with me. But ultimately, it's yours. Mm. And so it's this idea of just pouring out everything that he's poured out to us. Mm. And just sacrifice is so essential to our understanding of worship and the posture that we come before God with.
That's fantastic, Sheldon. I'm kind of blown away just even hearing that. It's the first time I've heard that kind of response to it. Corey, do you have anything that you'd like to add into that?
Wow, that says so much. That's beautiful and very impacting. I love the precedent that God is establishing in worship. And one thought that came to mind as you're talking is that, like, I think a lot of times we've heard the phrase that worship is a lifestyle, which I think is true. But I also think worship is more than that. Worship is your life, you know. Yeah. It's our whole life. Yeah. And it's so much more than the four songs that we lead on Sunday. It's so much more than the sermons that we preach.
Absolutely.
It's in the way that we serve. Like, I think about Jesus said, like, you know, whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me.
Yeah.
You know, that's a form of worship as well. Even though a scripture that says, like, giving a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus to someone is a form of worship.
Wow.
So it's all encompassing, you know, and it's that posture of, like, yeah, we're going to make mistakes. We're gonna have moments where we miss it, where we fall short. But the reality is, if our heart is anchored in Christ and we're always, like, postured towards Him, that's the heart of worship. And David carried that heart in the Old Testament. He made some big mistakes, but through that, he always turned his heart to the Father.
Wow.
And that connection, it keeps you, it's connection, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Worship is connection. And this morning I was telling Michaela and Christian earlier that I woke up this morning, I set my alarm, my phone died last night, and I set the actual old school alarm clock in the hotel. And I turned it on, and the first thing that popped on, unintentionally, the radio turned on at 6:30 in the morning, and the first thing I heard when I woke up said, God is a creator God who placed His Holy Spirit inside of you.
Wow.
That was the first thing I heard when I woke up this morning.
Well,
and I rolled over in bed. And I rolled over in bed, and I was like, thank you, Lord. Like, I needed to remember that this morning, you know?
Wow.
And so even just that is, that's worship to me.
Yeah.
Like, that's
so good.
God spoke to my heart through the radio.
And it's then, true.
Yeah.
No, I love it. And, you know, I love that idea of sacrifice. And, like, you just look at what Paul wrote in chapter 12 of Romans about laying down our lives, you know, like, that this will be, you know, it's a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing unto the Lord. This is the form of worship that he seeks. And so I love that thought. And, you know, we were kind of joking around before this podcast about maybe our age and stuff like that. We're trying to still fit in the young category. I think we're in there, right, Corey? And then you know, but in our culture that we're living in, when you take that worship, you know, you know it is surrounded by cameras, lights, production, stage, and you take that in contrast to what we're talking about, you know, at the birth of worship in the Bible. How do we contrast these two? And for us, our slogan at the Springs Church is authentic people trusting Christ. And I'd like to ask you, because you're very steeped in the Christian music world at this moment in time, what's your thoughts on keeping it authentic? How do we keep worship pure? How do we not lose touch of the grassroots of what worship is all about?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think it comes back to staying in a posture of humility and recognizing, like, being in touch, honestly, with weakness and understanding that, like, on my best day, that I still, like, can't make anything happen on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, I have gifts, yes, I have talent, but, like, the anointing makes the difference. And, like, being in fellowship with the Lord, being in communion with Him, you know, that keeps you grounded, you know. And, like, I don't know, I've just found that when I do get distracted, or when my sights do get set on things that are lesser or just accessory, God has a really good way of kind of shaking me back to the place of, like, hey, remember what it's all about. And he'll humble you and bring you back to that place. And so I think it's just, yeah, keeping the main thing, and having that conviction of heart. Because if you don't, you can get yourself in just a place where you're going to be hurt, if that makes sense. So,
you know, and one thing when I think about that, and both of you guys can comment on this, is, you know, when I was growing up in the youth group back in the day, you know, there was no tracks, there was no loops, there was none of this kind of pushing sound out through the system. It was more what the instruments produced is what you kind of heard. Whether today we have that, we have more of kind of sometimes a schedule that we have to keep on top of, you know, during worship. But, you know, question for you guys as worship leaders, and I know I hear this as a pastor all the time, You know, is there room for the Holy Spirit? Is mm-hmm. there room for God to move wow. in the church with all of this structure that we now have, you know, in place? And then I'll start with Jesus.
Yeah, I love that topic just because there's, I love the variety within the church, and I love the variety within the kingdom of God, because it's quite impossible to take a concept like this, like worship, and just to say it looks like this one thing. So we have churches across the country that it's a small country church, and it has a stand piano, upright piano up at the front of the room, and just a room full of people singing hymns, and that is genuine and authentic worship. And then we have the mega churches that hold thousands upon thousands of people that run the tracks and the loops and the lights and the fog and everything. And that is genuine, authentic worship if the Spirit of the Lord is there. Mm-hmm. Because I think the Spirit can be absent in either place, and it becomes not worship, but a performance or a religious exercise or something that has no meaning. But we serve a creative God who has created in so many different aspects and so many different ways. I mean, we just look at the beauty of the nature around us, and we see that God is not just this one thing. God does not create in just this one way. So why should we be limited in that way either? And I think that as far as leaving room for the Holy Spirit and there being kind of room to be led, even though we're adding all of these elements that might take a little more preparation and sticking with a click and things like that, I think, I can't remember who said it, but it's just this quote about worship that says, the reward for preparation is spontaneity. So if we are prepared, if we are practiced in our craft, if we are doing things excellently, then we have the freedom and the ability to move and to divert away from what we've structured into, okay, God, what are you doing in this moment? And just sort of pausing and saying, Father, what is your heart for your people in this moment?
Fantastic.
Wow. Fantastic. That's so good.
Yeah. Do you have anything you want to add to that, Corey? Or?
I just love what you said about, like, there's that sense of being prepared and ready. And my first worship pastor, he said this to me years ago, because I had told him I was feeling like I wanted more of the Holy Spirit on Sunday morning. I was like, I want to see God move in a greater way. And I walk away with this, like, dissatisfaction feeling sometimes, like I thought more could happen. And he would say to me, he would say, Corey, you just need to remember that worship rehearsal should be like 90% focus on the skill and on the, like, memorizing and doing the mechanics of it, and then 10% of it is the enjoyment of, like, the worship. And he's like, Sunday mornings should be the other side, where you've prepared and you've spent time and you're prayed up and all that, and now you just worship. So it's 90% expression and worship and overflow, and 10% of it's work because you've already done, you know, the second nature kicks in. You
absolutely
done the muscle memory. And so I think my most distracted times in worship have been when I haven't spent enough time preparing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I love that thought as well, Sheldon, that you're saying that it really doesn't matter maybe the style of the worship. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter the location of the worship.
Yeah.
You can have it in the big, you know, relevant style churches, and you can have it in more of the traditional style church, but, you know, it doesn't, you can both have it in either or you can not have it in either or. In a lot of ways. So that's awesome. You know, if it's okay, I'd like to go to probably the topic nobody likes to talk to any about, and trying to get away from it, but it's just so impacting, is COVID-19 and coronavirus. I know everybody hates to talk about it, but, you know, when I was thinking about coming up for this interview, the thing that most people, or a lot of people here in this country, but around the world, I think of even the country I come from in Ireland, you know, there's been now months of time where the church hasn't been able to meet in person and have that volume of the people gathering to worship the Lord together. And I'd like you guys to speak to that. And particularly, I want you guys to move beyond just being, you know, like, how do we get the team or the leadership team to hit that? But speak to the people at home that are feeling that disconnect between the screen and the volume and the togetherness, and but still entering in and having that moment, having that time where they can worship the Lord. So, Corey, maybe on this one we'll start with you.
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously, like, it's 2020 was a very difficult year and very unexpected in so many ways, and we've all had to adjust. We've all had to, like, we've had curveballs thrown, and you have to find a way. So many churches that have never done live stream before had to learn how to do it, you know, all those things. Churches that were already doing it, you know, were having streaming only for a certain period of time. And like you said, like, there can be a lot of disconnect, and some families can't attend church because they're trying to protect vulnerable family members, and which is completely understandable. And I think we've had this year, we've had to learn how to have grace, and we've had to learn how to, I guess, in a sense, I think God's calling us to learn to get back to the simple things.
Right.
And I think about, like, in the book of Acts, you know, like house church. I think about that and how people gathered in smaller groups, and they broke bread together, you know, and obviously, like, you could do that within your own family, in a sense. But I think it's also a time of reflection and a time of getting alone with God, too. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's a way to connect, in a sense, that's maybe not, you know, for some of us that like community and we want to be around other people or extroverted, that's difficult because it's like, oh, I have to be alone and that kind of thing. But I think it's a beautiful time to embrace that alone time with God.
Mm-hmm.
And to receive something that you could only get from your quiet time.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously with technology, though, we have so many opportunities, even though you can't necessarily go physically be with somebody all the time, we have so many opportunities with FaceTime and technology on that side of things to reach out and have community. We did Zoom groups with my church, which I'm sure you guys did
too. For sure.
I hosted a small group in the springtime on Zoom, and that was so encouraging in the middle of everything because we were able to pray together, able to encourage one another from our walk with God. And
absolutely, definitely. We've kind of done the Zoom here too, and it's definitely there. There's technology, there's avenues that we can go through it. But, you know, like, for that family that's sitting at home and the worship music comes on, but the kettle is boiling and the baby's crying, and, you know, but you're there leading in worship, Sheldon. Like, have you anything that you'd like to say to those guys that are home? Because, you know, the reality is that we know their hearts are with us, we're with them, but is there anything that you would take a moment and just say, hey, we'd love to speak into those families that are at home for certain reasons?
Yeah, I think I have an unpopular opinion.
Yes.
In this matter, I think that the social distancing and everything that has happened over the past year in the church has done a huge service to us as Christians.
Wow.
Because it has put the responsibility of worship into the hands of the congregation.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no longer room for you to come in and to be entertained by the atmosphere in the room and to not have a genuine connection with God. If you are going to experience worship during this period, it's going to be from an overflow of your personal relationship with God. It's not going to be coming into a room and seeing other people lift up your hands so you lift up your hands just to fit in with everybody else. It's going to be because, like Corey was saying earlier, about having that connection with God and that real genuine relationship with Him. And even going back to what you said about worship leaders kind of leading out of the overflow of our personal times with God, I would extend that to the congregation. I would say, like he said, your quiet time is so essential. Your time alone with God is so essential because that is where the relationship is built. The community is good in coming together and iron sharpening iron and edifying one another. It's so good. It's so valuable. It's so necessary. But if your relationship with God does not come from a place of me and him and me, then what is your worship coming from?
Wow. I love that thought. Like, just, you know, all the aids, in a sense, are taken away. Like, it's not like there's no cheerleader kind of pastor up there kind of like, hey, lift your hands into worship. You're kind of in that place where you have to decide. You have to be intentional. Am I going to enter in into worship? I think of even John on the Isle of Patmos, where he got that revelation to write the book of Revelation. You know, that it's not, I guess it's not impossible, is it, Corey? It's not impossible to be at home and to still, through the technology that we have, still engage in worship and be a part of the overall worship movement.
I love that. Yeah, I was going to share this too. Whenever the pandemic first happened, someone shared a newspaper clip from the 20s from the Spanish flu, and it was from the Assemblies of God denomination, and they were describing their reaction to that pandemic or whatever. It was an epidemic. And they were describing how they handled it, And it was really interesting reading the tone of that article, because the way they described it is they said, even though we've had to quarantine, we have found it to be a wonderful, blessed time to reconnect with our families, to reconnect to the Word, to spend time at worship with our families at home. And it was just, you didn't hear complaining, you didn't hear, obviously that was a completely different time in history, but I just thought, wow, what an angle to look at it from, that they considered it a time that God was giving to them to have a Sabbath and to have a rest. And a lot of that, this year we heard that too, you know, that God was giving almost like a forced rest and a Sabbath. And I think that at the top of the pandemic, that's almost what it seemed like to me, was I was in a place where I was just writing songs here, going there, traveling here, traveling there, Sunday morning worship, and not taking any time to truly rest. And it was almost like God called a time out for the whole body, for the whole world. He was like, time out. Like, not that he caused, I'm not saying he caused COVID,
of course.
But I think he used it and it's called the time out and said, okay, church, let's get alone. Let's talk.
Yeah, I believe it. And I think that there's family members and friends and people who would never have come through the door of the church that are now clicking in and tuning in and being a part of it. So it has opened up new avenues. But, you know, I think, Corey, you referenced the book of Acts right at the beginning, you know, where they broke bread together and they sang together. And, you know, that was they met house to house, and then they met in the temple. And, you know, the day is coming, Sheldon, where we're going to be again with all the saints, you know, amen, experience the heights and the depths of Lord. Amen to that. It's coming. We're believing for it. Do you think there's anything that's changed when we get back together? Is there anything that you think is going to be different? Is there anything that's going to be, that has taken a shift and it'll never be the same again as we go into congregating back together?
I would say that there is definitely like a filter of authenticity now over everything, where it feels like when we come back into that place where we're all together, it's almost like I'm trying to think of the word. It's like the leaven has been sifted out. So there's like the people that are coming together and expressing that worship are, you're going to see the fruits of the season that we've had where we've been apart from each other. And you're going to see the people that have grown during this time and who have continued to engage with the presence of God and are coming back together and are excited for that community again, versus the ones that are kind of scrambling to get back to a place and that have kind of not treated it in the same way almost.
No, absolutely. That's very good. And we definitely see that kind of playing out. You know, something that, you know, like just to shift gears slightly in the conversation, just as you were talking there, Sheldon, something jumped out in my mind is, people are searching for what's real. They are searching for what is authentic. And I think that you're right. After coming out of this time, people are going to be searching for that. You know, songwriting, kind of going to you, Corey, is like, it's shifted throughout the years of even me being a Christian and being in the faith. They've gone from being very a lot of vocabulary, a lot of theology in them, to being more anthem driven. You know, I'm kind of wondering, as we shift into this new decade now that we're in, do you see a place where that anthem kind of style worship is going to continue to trend upwards? Or because people are looking more for that, what's real, what's, you know, something a little bit beyond the surface. Give me something that actually gives me hope. Give me something that, do you see a trend back to maybe more the lyrics being more theological heavy, if you can put it that way, or more scripture kind of input into it? And maybe I'm kind of butchering that way, but do you see any kind of trend that way?
Yeah, I love that question. I think, yeah, because you're exactly right. There's been a shift, you know, towards anthems and towards declarational songs, which are very important, I think, because, I mean, those are powerful moments. But I think that there's also a call back to intimacy. Mm-hmm. When I think about, like, something that the Lord said to me last summer, he said that my church is acting too much like Martha and not enough like Mary. And Martha was busy working, doing all the things, but Mary just wanted to bring an offering and break it at the feet of Jesus and sit. And he said she did the better thing, and Jesus valued that offering that she brought. And like, when I thought about that, I was like, wow, we're so busy in the church. We're so like, our minds are constantly going. We're constantly working on something. And so I thought about that, and I was like, wow, there's a real call back to intimacy, a real call back to knowing Jesus personally. And while we need the authority and the declarational powerful anthems, we also need that the songs that are just simply, I love you, Lord,
right.
and that do include like the theology,
right.
implementing that as well, and reverence. And so, yeah, I see that. I see things shifting to where we don't throw out the declarational songs, but I think we implement more of these
yeah.
reverential, intimate moments on our way towards intensity.
Very good.
So.
Very good. Yeah, I don't know if you have anything to add to that, Sheldon?
I mean, Scripture has always been and always will be just incredibly essential. And one of the things that Corey was talking to our worship team this weekend about was this idea that we see in Ephesians and Colossians, where we're told to sing over each other with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And the way that I've always viewed that passage is this idea of psalms, which is singing scriptures, and then hymns, which is singing theological truths, the truths about God, and then spiritual songs, which are songs of testimony. So I think even though we've seen like a shift and a sort of a sway back and forth between like the styles that are prevalent in the church, I think that all of them are important to be well-rounded in our worship, in our expressions of praise.
So good. I want to land the plane here in terms of our conversation. And, you know, for you guys are worship leaders, there's a songwriting retreat. Like, a question for you is, what is the goal of a worship leader? What's your goal at the end of the day? Like, we talk a lot about breakthrough, you know, seeing a breakthrough in the service. I know you talked about even when you were younger, like being a little bit frustrated, maybe not seeing the results the way you wanted to see them. So my question is, it's kind of a double barrel question, is what is the goal of being a worship leader? But then also, how can the congregation be involved in answering that as well, or achieving that goal? For you guys as worship leaders. And I'll start with you, Sheldon, and then we'll kind of give the last word over to Corey.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that it's cool the way the Holy Spirit has brought this weekend together, because I shared this again with the worship team when we got together on Friday, and then when Corey came in and spoke to us all day yesterday, it was like a repeated theme that he kept bringing up as well. And I thought it was really cool that the way that worked out. But this idea of giving our congregation a voice in writing these songs for them. This is obviously something that, you know, our church is going to be pretty new into, and we're kind of starting on this journey. And Corey, I know with Madison Street, you guys have kind of been on this road for a bit longer, and I'm sure you can attest to this too, but there is just something so powerful about giving your congregation these songs and sort of watching them take hold of it.
Yeah.
And sort of raising it up as like, this is our banner, this is our anthem of praise. And I was telling you earlier, Erwin, but it's just this idea of our voices joining the global church and being lifted up to heaven in the incense of praise that's going up to the throne of God. And I'm really excited about just that in this new season of seeing our church take these songs that, you know, there's these influential people within the body that were with us this weekend, and people that were there very intentionally, because I feel like they contribute to the voice of the Springs Church. So I'm really excited about this next season of taking that ownership.
No pressure, Sheldon. We're looking forward to the EP for the Springs Church. We're in what will be our renovated new facility here on Park Avenue in Jacksonville. So I don't know if it's a prophecy or me just kind of hoping for the future, but I believe one day we're going to be in here releasing some songs into the congregation, and we're going to have an amazing time of worship. So we're pumped about that, Sheldon. And then, Corey, any kind of last words for you on that? And as well as that, maybe you just wrap up as well by letting everybody know what Corey Voss is doing today, what some of the projects you're involved in. I know you're moving more towards songwriting in a lot of ways, so just kind of maybe you'd kind of tag that on as well.
Yeah, I love the question, like, what's the goal of a worship leader, the heartbeat of that? And I think at the end of the day, like, I think serving the body of Christ is really our honor as worship leaders.
Yeah.
Giving a voice to the voiceless, giving people things to sing that will bring them hope and courage. I think about the family that walks in and, you know, they're struggling and they're having a hard time with whatever. It could be financially, or it could be, I don't know, maybe there's a death in the family or whatever, but being able to give that person something to sing that gives them hope and an anchor point with Christ. Fantastic. And then ushers them into the presence of God. Those are the moments that I find to be most rewarding as a worship leader. Yeah. Even more than that, albums and the lights and the songs and all the things, like being able to lead people that way is such a privilege. Mm-hmm. To lead them to shepherd them to the presence of God is one of the highest honors that we get. And so I'm thankful for that reality, you know, and it simplifies it, you know, because it's easy to get caught up in all the other things, which are good things, but at the end of the day, I think that's what touches my heart the most.
Sure.
In corporate worship. But yeah, as far as like what I'm doing, I'm thankful for this season that I'm in. I felt like earlier this year, I felt like the Lord said it was time to rest, and to recoup a little bit and to work on refilling my heart and just growing with Him, which is awesome. And I just did a project with Integrity called Revere. Mm-hmm. That's been just so special. Before COVID, we gathered and did a retreat and recorded a bunch of songs, and there was this heartbeat in the project, is what I was saying earlier, the journey from intimacy to intensity to the fear of the Lord. Wow. And kind of recognizing that place of, wow, it's easy to lose sight of the fear of the Lord when we're just, I don't know, thinking in terms of all the things we're doing, and all the production and all this stuff. And so coming back, like Psalm 111 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. It's the foundation. And so that is like kind of our starting point. And so that whole project is based on that. And they gave each of us worship leaders. There's probably 10 or 12 different worship leaders on the Revere album. And they gave us all someone else's song to sing.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
In order to create a shared vision. Wow. And a humility.
I love that.
It's like, it's not about my artistry or your artistry. So it's like, wow, I'm leading your song and you're leading my song.
It's very good.
And that recording was so special, because there was such a unity in the room. The Integrity has launched Revere as its own, kind of its own artistry type thing, and so they're going to keep doing those projects, and we are just now releasing another Revere project. Wow. Called Holy Place. And it was me and an artist named Sarah Kroger, and a producer named Kevin, and the three of us just in a church like this empty church building, set up a piano and two vocals and recorded three songs and spontaneous worship. And the goal of that was just to get back to that fear of the Lord, reverence, intimacy.
So good.
That whole thing. So that's kind of what I've been up to recently, with Integrity. And I'm working towards another record, another solo record, and
very good
writing. And yeah,
so you're staying busy.
Staying busy, yes. Not too busy though. I'm definitely taking time out of each week to rest.
For sure.
Yeah. Oh, and my word for this year is rest as well. So 2 months paid vacation, and then we'll move forward from there.
You can put in an application for that, Sheldon. And we'll see how that goes. No, thank you guys so much for being a part of the podcast, Beyond Sunday. Corey, you can always say that you had the honor of being on episode one of Beyond Sunday. And so I would just say to everybody as well, just check out Revere and check out Corey Voss on all the music streaming platforms. And he's been a blessing to our church this weekend. And we're grateful to have him in. We're grateful for our Springs Church worship team as well. And you can help us out by just sharing out this podcast and let your friends know about it. Write a review about it. And we look forward to catching you again real soon. God bless you guys.
Thank you for listening to the Beyond Sunday podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to share with your friends and family. Our next episode will be about all things relationships with John and Chris Leach. Each episode will be released on the first Friday of each month. We hope you join us next time on the Beyond Sunday podcast.